message on the sampler she was sewing, surrounded by little flowers, was, "Eat cold steel pig dog." "Well, well," said Cohen, sheathing his sword. "I thought I recognised the handiwork back there. How you doing, Vina?" "You're looking well, Cohen," said the woman, as calmly as though she had been expecting them. "You boys want some stew?"
"Yeah," said Truckle, grinning. "Let the bard try it first, though."
"Shame on you, Truckle," said the woman, putting aside her embroidery.
"Well, you did drug me and steal a load of jewels off me last time we met."
"That was 40 years ago, man. Anyway, you left me alone to fight that band of goblins."
"I knew you'd beat the goblins, though."
"I knew you didn't need the jewels. Morning, Evil Harry. Hello, boys. Pull up a rock. Who's the thin streak of misery?"
This is the bard," said Cohen. "Bard, this is Vina, the raven-haired."
"What?" said the bard. "No, she's not. Even I've heard of Vina the raven-haired, and she's a tall young woman with... Oh."
Vina sighed. "Yet the old stories do hang around so, don't they?" she said, patting her grey hair. "And it's Mrs. McGarry now, boys."
"Yeah, I heard you'd settled down," said Cohen, dipping the ladle into the stew and tasting it. "Married an innkeeper, didn't you? Hung up your sword, had kids."
"Grandchildren?" said Mrs. McGarry proudly. But then the proud smile faded.
"One of them's taken over the inn, but the other's a papermaker."
"Running an inn's a good trade," said Cohen, "but there's not much heroing in wholesale stationery. A paper cut's just not the same."
He smacked his lips.
"This is good stuff, girl."
"It's funny," said Vina. "I never knew I had the talent, but people will come miles for my dumplings."
"No change there, then," said Truckle the uncivil.
"Truckle," said Cohen, "remember when you told me to tell you when you were being too uncivil?"
"Yeah."
"That was one of those times." "Anyway," said Mrs. McGarry, smiling sweetly at the blushing Truckle, "I was sitting around after Charlie died and I thought, well, is this it? I've just got to wait for the Grim Reaper. And then there was this scroll."
"What scroll?" said Cohen and Evil Harry together.
They stared at one another.
"You see," said Cohen, reaching into his pack, "I found this old scroll showing a map of how to get to the mountains and all the little tricks for getting past..."
"Me too," said Harry.
"You never told me."
"I'm a Dark Lord, Cohen," said Evil Harry patiently. "I'm not supposed to be Captain Helpful."
"Tell me where you found it, at least."
"Oh, in some ancient sealed tomb we was despoiling."
"I found mine in an old storeroom back in the Empire," said Cohen.
"Mine was left in the inn by a traveller all in black," said Mrs. McGarry.
In the silence, the minstrel said,
"Excuse me."
"What?"
said all three together.
"Is it just me," said the minstrel, "or are we missing something here?"
"Like what?"
demanded Cohen.
"Well, these scrolls all tell you how to get to the mountains, a perilous trek that no one has ever survived."
"Yeah, so?"
"So, who wrote the scrolls?"
A few of the Discworld gods were passing the time as they do. Gathered around a large playing board were Sesifet, goddess of the afternoon, Offler, the crocodile-headed, Flatulus, god of the winds, Fate, Eureka, goddess of the saunas, snow, and theatrical performances for fewer than 120 people, Blind Io, chief of the gods and general thundering, Libertina, goddess of the sea, apple pie, certain types of ice cream and short lengths of string, The Lady, don't even ask, Bibulus, god of wine and things on sticks, Patina, goddess of wisdom, Tapaxi, god of certain mushrooms and also of great ideas that you forgot to write down and will never remember again, and of people who tell other people that dog is god spelled backwards and think this is in some way revelatory. Bast, god of things left on the doorstep or half-digested under the bed, and Nuggan, a local god but also in charge of paperclips, correct things in the right place in small desk stationery sets, and unnecessary paperwork. Offler, the crocodile, looked up from the playing board, which was in fact the world.
"All right, who doth he belong to?" he lisped. "We've got a clever one here."
There was a general craning of necks among the assembled deities, and then one put up his hand.
"And you are?"
the